Mueller had appealed his conviction on technical grounds, namely that he was entitled to what is known as a necessity defense, and that Fairbanks District Court Judge Jane F. Kavar failed to instruct the jury appropriately. Senator Stevens was not in Fairbanks at the time of the demonstration. Although Mueller was surprised to learn that the appeal failed, his passion for ending the war has not diminished.
I mean, look, who are the criminals in this case? A small group of us who went to Ted Stevens' office to try to stop the war? Or Ted Stevens, who has funded billions and billions and billions into the war, still supports the war? It's a war that's nearly universally seen as illegal, immoral, corrupt. It's bankrupting the United States. Who are the criminals?
In a necessity defense, a defendant has to prove that the harm he hopes to prevent outweighs the crime for which he is charged. Defendants generally have to introduce evidence that there was no reasonable alternative to their action, and that the perceived harm meets an objective standard. In other words, a judge or jury or any other person has to see the circumstances in a similar light. Mueller's attorney, Jim McGowan, says the appeal lost on the objective standard.
And that's the weighing of whether the disruption is justifiable in light of the likelihood of this protest having any effect on the war itself.
McGowan says that the appellate court did not dispute Mueller's own or subjective belief that his refusal to leave Senator Stevens' office would lead to an end to the war. The necessity defense allows a defendant to be mistaken in his beliefs, although McGowan argued that Mueller's stance is in no way implausible or mistaken.
You know, it's a function of how many people go into how many congressmen's offices down to the lead in the parade. I mean, it's the war will stop when enough people say it's got to stop, and they're not allowing Don to use the necessity defense because he's one of the vanguard of protesters. You know, that's Don's lot in life, I suppose, is to lead the charge, and the first couple guys always get picked off, but when everybody stands up and says no, it'll stop, and then the necessity defense might be recognized.
The Alaska Appellate Court cited several other cases to support its ruling. In one, Cleveland versus Anchorage, anti-abortion protesters sought to raise the necessity defense after they were charged with criminal trespass for disrupting the operations of an abortion clinic by blocking the doors. In another, State of Hawaii versus Marley, defendants were charged with criminal trespass for entering the offices of Honeywell Corporation in an effort to stop what they believed were war crimes being committed by Honeywell. In neither case was the necessity defense allowed since the defendant's actions, quote, were not reasonably designed to actually prevent the threatened greater harm. But Don Mueller remains convinced that civil disobedience is the only effective mechanism for ending the war.
Well, there has never been a significant social change in the United States that did not include civil disobedience and civil resistance and nonviolent direct action. That's historical fact.
The failure of his appeal cost Mueller the $1,000 fine he paid upon his conviction. He says he plans to appeal his case to the Alaska Supreme Court. Attorney Jim McGowan says rejecting the necessity defense was a value judgment of the three appellate court judges, that disrupting the orderliness of Ted Stevens' office outweighed the necessity of ending the war. McGowan would like to see if the Alaska Supreme Court shares those values or shares Don Mueller's. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Robert Woolsey.